All righty, we are at, I was gonna say episode, I think we're at week six. Yes, week six. So I am curious to hear your responses to not only to the links that have been posted, but what your experience has been in the past week as you've interacted or avoided interacting with nature. Some of us who had lots of snow here were trying to avoid it for a while, but not very successfully. So that's what I'd love to chat about. Not so much about the specifics of what things are in terms of sacred geometry or the Fibonacci series. If you've seen some of the clips and articles, you'll have a sense of what they are. But I'm really curious about what you've noticed about how nature makes you feel and what other experiences you've had. So over to you.
I don't know. Are we supposed to say chat or something when we want to talk?
No, you're all unmuted. I
don't know all the rules, and I didn't know how to cheer people either. So Connie, you can tell me about that after. You know, because we live in an area like we're 45 minutes, Connie and I, from like Zion National Park, and we have all these amazing geology and blue skies, and I have birds and swans and eagles that I can see regularly. I knew that I was experiencing awe, and I knew that it was so good for me. But before I moved here, I lived in the city. And when people say, what's so great about it, you know, and I'd say, well, you do not think about yourself. You feel like you're part of a bigger whole. And instead of self-reflecting all the time, there's just an awareness that you're looking out of yourself instead of inward. And I think, but I never thought of it. I mean, it sounds weird. I mean, I guess I never really thought of it as being an emotion that is of your soul and your consciousness and your awareness that is kind of a transformative quality to it. I'd never thought of it like that. And now I'm loving it. I mean, it's like, ooh. I even went out to look for, unsuccessfully, the first night for the Jupiter-Saturn. going, if I see it, I'll be in awe, you know. And then I couldn't find it. And then somebody showed me where it was. And I was like, wow. Even though it really wasn't wow, it was like, that's it. You know, it's kind of like, it wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't like a huge fiery ball in the sky or anything. But just the fact that there are stars and we could look at them. So it heightened my awareness of all the things there are to be awful about. And I guess that word awful is kind of interesting too. I'd never thought of that. Anyway, I'm just blathering on. So somebody else take over here.
Thanks, Kathleen.
I had an experience sitting with three very close women friends, and we sat around a fire pit Sunday night, and what was going to be like an hour or two conversation went from 5 until 9 at night, outside, wrapped in blankets, looking at the stars, and just feeling, you know, the aha moment of our camaraderie together. It heightened our love and our feeling for one another and the heightened sense of gratitude for this world, this universe, and to pull from it and just sort of open your arms to it. And I've done that before, but it was with a new sense of just awe and appreciation for having that. And it was just a beautiful experience, and it has stayed in my heart and soul since Sunday. It's just resonated through the whole week, and every conversation and communication I've had with the women there, it's brought us closer and other people.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that. There is something about, I don't know if the people who are on the call or will be listening, hopefully, had a chance to read that article about something about 10 reasons to love nature. Or I'm sure I'm butchering that. But a number of the things that she's said in there have already been echoed here so far about that sense of transcendence, about being part of something that is, you know, exceptionally grand and way beyond our scope. So who else?
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I was kind of waiting all week to like go out and have like a nature walk and have like a profound experience doing that. And it didn't really, I didn't actually. And I was starting to get a little nervous about like not having a really good experience with nature before Wednesday. And so I just remembered like all the moments of having experience with nature that I had all week and have all the time. And I, you know, I just put a little thing up on our mighty web. So I guess the takeaway for me is that it's always there. It's not like, you know, like, you know, the conjunction on Wednesday, was it when, whatever night it was, Monday night, Tuesday night, you know, it was cloudy and we couldn't see anything here. And so, you know, well, that was a bummer. Not really, but you know, it's happening somewhere. And the point that I want to make is that it's there. You know, it's my cat, my dog, the air when I open the door, the fire in the fireplace, the Christmas tree smell in the house, the food cooking, it's all there. It's like, it's not really, it's all there waiting to be a present to. And that was like, it's always there. It's always there. It's always there, whether it's, you know, anyway, I could go on, but that's it. That's actually a pretty comforting and bringing to self experience. Mm.
Yeah. And it's always, as you said, always there. What a gift.
Always. Air, you breathe it. You know, it's just like it in tiny, you know, quote unquote, tiny ways and glorious, you know, huge dramatic ways. It's like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Well, Nina, you kind of referred to the snow early on in the conversation, and so that has kind of kept me inside for most of this week. Which, but like Mary was just referring to, you know, I think that that's a really cool idea. That, you know, I'm not particularly a fan of the cold, so I don't like to go out when there's snow all over the place. But there's been so many times where now that after hearing Mary share that I've noticed it inside the house, which has been really interesting. And, you know, when she said the fire, like I was like, wow, we've been lighting fires all the time here. And I didn't really think about that, but it's like, you know, we're still inside, but we're still with nature. So that was a pretty interesting idea. And even like cooking, you know, different, you know, foods like kale or, you know, making a salad or whatever it is. I feel like that's, and I don't know, I never really thought about that as like being a part of nature, because, you know, when you say like, oh, I got to go take a walk in nature, that always refers to going outside. But it's a little different perspective to think about like bringing the nature into the home, I guess, is a little interesting. I never really thought about it like that before.
Yeah, that's great. So Martin, give me a word or two of how it made you feel when you realized, oh, fire is part of nature. What was
it? It felt like comforting, because I've kind of missed being like somewhere where it's warm, or you know, you could go outside all year round and you could go on a hike or you could go to the beach or something like that. And now that that's not particularly available, you know, it's been a pretty nice summer. So I've been on the beach in November, and I was close to going in December, but didn't, but yeah, so it's just like, it's nice to know that even if it's cold, or even if you don't necessarily want to, you know, go outside of the house, that there are ways to bring, you know, bring nature into your life still. And it doesn't necessarily require going on a hike or, you know, going on a nature walk or whatever you want to call it. You could just, there's other little ways, like, you know, it's always here, like Mary was just saying. So I appreciate her share, and this new realization is nice, especially going into the heart of the winter.
Yes, right.
Hi.
Hi, Ann.
Someone said to me, I have a hard time walking in weather like we had. I mean, who can walk? It's impossible in the 31 inches. A friend of mine told me she stepped outside her door and went up to her waist. So it's really kind of a challenging time to go walking. But one of the things that somebody had suggested to me was open your patio doors. Like, don't, why close them? So yesterday afternoon, I opened my patio doors and just let the cold come into my house. And then I turned on the fireplace and a heater, and could appreciate the outdoors coming in. So I liked what Martin was saying, that nature was coming in to me. And yet I was somewhat like a Native American, protected by my little, you know, tent or whatever, so that I wasn't freezing to death. But I was experiencing the direct energy and light and flow and coldness of this amazing nature experience. I used to own a house and live out in the more out in the country, and I would have been out there in the field watching for these satellites and these stars to cross with each other and planets and so on. In fact, the whole, like, four or five people that lived on the street would often be all out in the field. Everybody would bring a chair out in the field if there was some amazing nature event that was going to happen. But where I live now, there's so many city lights. I love the night sky. And as soon as COVID is over, I need to move, you know, somewhere where I can be connected to the night sky again, because I feel like I can't connect to the night sky with all these lights on. Mm-hmm. So those are my two things that I thought about. One was that I could bring nature in by opening my patio doors, which had not occurred to me till somebody said, why do you have to have them shut? Open the patio doors. So that was really good. And then memories of other amazing nature experiences. I've always been a real nature girl. And so I have memories that are amazing of nature.
That's really nice. I hadn't thought about opening the door and welcoming it in.
I hadn't either until somebody said, why don't you open your patio doors? And I was like, oh, okay.
I remember once, this was many, many years ago. I went to Kenya, and my oldest brother was there. He was still in the Air Force, but we went on safari. And there was one point where we were traveling for hours in some kind of a, you know, like a minibus. And we got to a point where it looked like we were looking at the edge of the world. And there was a wildebeest migration going on, and there was a Maasai warrior walking all by himself, like going nowhere, going from nowhere to nowhere. And that sense of being part of this huge, huge life, it's not very well described, but that sense of being part of this huge, huge sky and this huge open landscape and wildness and, you know, fathomless mystery was so exhilarating that it really, I felt this sense of connection, and also like, holy smokes, this is so much bigger than anyone could possibly really grok, you know. And it was just, I think we can have that experience almost any time, as if we notice, as Mary said, that it's always here for us.
Nina, are we talking about when we saw nature? I missed the assignment. because I was grabbing my yogurt.
We're just talking about what you've noticed about nature in the past week, whether you any of the particular posts from the group forum, any of the TED Talks or other talks or articles, yeah. Whatever was in there, what your takeaway was from them.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get into all the materials, but I was listening to a kind of a meditation this morning, and it was talking about healing. And I think something that occurred to me is just the power of nature in my own body, right? And how miraculous it is, the way that the body can heal itself. It's something that I think, I was reflecting on some of the things people are sharing now. And I grew up in the plains, and so tornadoes were always right there, and massive thunderstorms that you could see coming miles away. And one time I remember we ran out to play in the rain as kids with my mom, and lightning struck a converter within 100 feet or more. And I swear it was this giant light thing. And I swear it chased us, I swear, because we ran into the house. And it was such a powerful thing, you know, these giant storms, and these tornadoes and everything, right? And so I always thought about nature as external, but I think that, I was thinking about the quantum physics thing and all those conversations we had, and just the power of our ability and all these little cells and all these little things doing what they do. And that nature is going to do what it wants, whether I want it to or not. It's going to keep going whether we're here or not. And therefore all these little bits of my body are doing the same thing every day. And I think that that's pretty humbling and exciting and miraculous. And so that's kind of where I landed with it.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't it kind of, you can really go to get it to a place where your head kind of blows open. If you think about we consume nature, it's transformed in our bodies, and then we do stuff as a result. We're connected in so many different ways that we don't think about very often. And yet when you start connecting the dots, it's like, holy smokes.
I never realized how much of geometry, well, all of nature's geometry, all of everything. And I was looking at past photos of reflections, just drops of water from a camp that I still miss in New York, on a lake. And they were past photos that Liam took. And we re-looked at them, and you could see the geometry in what he was doing with the macro of some of these things, as well as with dragonflies, butterflies. It was just astonishing. And just what people have said that was like, there's sometimes you don't realize there are so many awe moments going on all the time. So the geometry, and I think what Anne had said in the beginning, can you imagine if math teachers brought something like that in, how engaging that would be for students? So I just feel so thrilled to be learning this at this point in my life.
Yeah. I don't know if you all got to see the TED Talk on the, I think her name is Lisa Long, the geometry expert who was replicating a lot of the Islamic designs and sacred geometry shapes that she'd seen in many, many places. But she studied with a man named Keith Critchlow, who's well-known in that field of geometry. But when you start seeing how forms are repeated in nature, you know, whether it's the spiral or the square or that Fibonacci series that played out. There was another video of a young woman who's talking about how she got her mind blown by seeing geometry in all these different shapes, from the subatomic level to, you know, the galactic level. It just gives us a richer life, doesn't it? I see Joy having rather an ecstatic moment there, but I can't hear a word she may be saying or thinking.
So I was, I stopped driving, first of all. I was reflecting on how I love the asymmetry of nature and a walk I took last week, because I'm trying to get out more to move my body, and noticing these little tiny snail bodies on the sidewalk with their little, I guess, antennae.
I'm not sure what they are.
But I came upon them, and of course I avoid worms and snails and anything. I don't step on them, but after a while I saw one that had a shell. Now we're talking about a snail with a shell that's no bigger, in fact, smaller than my pinky nail. And I was like, oh, look, that one has a shell. The rest of them are naked. And I just found that very amusing, that there are all these little naked snails, and this one happened to be lucky enough to find a shell. But it's also the gnarliness of these old trees and how they have these bulbous formations on them, and, you know, that create faces. Or it is the northern light when it hits the last golden leaves on a tree in front of a glass building. Mm-hmm. And it's like the tree is just lit up with natural sunlight. It's the sun dogs, right, in the sky. And it's a, yeah, I know there are repeated shapes in nature, but I also love the asymmetry, and also the, I know there's a word for it, but it's kind of the whimsy and the, yeah, the whimsy. So I wanted to mention a book that I'm reading called Wintering by Catherine May. Oh, yes. Do you know of this?
I just read about it last night, but go ahead and share.
Well, I want to share the title, and I'll, it's by Catherine May, and the title is very important. The title is Wintering, Rest, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times. And so I feel like I've been coming through a very difficult time, and I've come out the other side. And Catherine talks about the seasons, and she talks about the solstice that, I'm going to say, people in the olden days and the other cycles of nature that they followed to sort of keep them grounded in their lives, which were very much more connected with nature than ours are today. And that's the way I feel when I go to the mountains. I go to sleep earlier because it gets dark. And so I go to bed at 8:30, or I love to watch the sky and wake up to see the colors of the sky, and my day takes on a different pattern of nature. So I highly encourage anyone who's going through a challenging time to read this book, because it's very grounding and resetting. And it's also gives you a perspective on things that I think we need to come back to kind of find some health in ourselves. And I think nature is a great source. Piggybacking on what Jan was saying, nature is a great source of healing and health. So that's all I wanted to share. I'm smiling because these things are running around in my head. And right now I'm thinking about naked snails and one lucky one with a shell.
It's great. Yeah, thank you. I want to see if I have a quote that I'd like to read you. It just occurred to me. Let's see if I can find it. So while I'm looking for it, if somebody else wants to share something, that'd be great.
Oh, I'll share something since I've already talked, but I just have to tell you, Joy, you made me think about I was on the phone. I've been thinking so much about our conversations, even though I had to miss last week, I think. I don't know. Anyway, the patterns that we all grow, but the irregularity. So there's this, we walk out at Grafton like almost every week, and there's this one tree and it grows up for probably 5 feet. And then there's this big arc where it dips almost down in a point. And then, you know, it's dipped over about 2 feet from the base of its trunk. And then the rest of the tree goes straight up. And it's an old hemlock stand, right? So hemlocks take a long time to grow. You know, they could be very small, but decades and decades and decades old because they're waiting for an opening in the sky to give them the sunlight to grow more quickly, which is just kind of neat. And so I think this hemlock must be very old, and whatever obstacle that existed that the tree grew around all those years before is completely gone. It's been consumed by the forest. And yet there's this memory of it there. And when I think about what would that look like on the inside of the tree, right? How does its perfect rings start to shift in that one section where it's irregular, but yet it grew around it, grew into something beautiful. And then it returns probably to its regular, you know, more essential structure afterwards. And yet it continues to thrive. I feel like that's a really nice analogy for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We can learn so much from observing the natural world. I can't find that quote, but it may show up. It's by a woman named Annie Dillard, who wrote a book many years ago called Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. So I may find it. If I don't find it in our call, I'll put it in on the our mighty networks. Our mighty network, as Mary put it. I don't know if you saw this article, the one I really mangled the name of, that was about the 10 things that nature invokes, or how nature makes us feel. And I'd love to go over those because I thought they were so accurate. I thought they were really right on the money. The first thing that she ordered it from 10 to 1, which I don't know why that matters, but the first thing she said was that nature teaches us that nothing is wrong with us. When we're out in nature, we don't compare ourselves to the trees or the branches, and we usually don't compare ourselves to other people. There aren't any mirrors around so we can see how we're doing or how we look. We're just out there, and there's that sense of belonging that a lot of people have already spoken about, whether you're actually outside or you're just considering what's going on outside of your house. The second thing that she said was time slows down and that our sense of clock time disappears. And that is, I don't know about how your experience, but that is such a relief when we don't have to watch the clock. Like, I'm always noticing when my husband looks at his watch. We might be watching a movie or something, and he's looking at his watch like, why? But when we're out in nature, there's this expanse and this sense of more natural rhythms. And being able to tap into that and experience that is really relaxing. At least I find it that way, because people are on schedules. You got to be somewhere, you got to do something, you got to respond to something, you know, there's always some demand. But when you're out in nature, unless you're climbing a rock face, you don't have a big demand on you except just to be there and experience it. I really noticed, let me just see if I can remember this thought. I really noticed when we had this snowstorm and we were snowed in for a few days, the plow didn't come for 3 days for various reasons. And that sense of having the option to be outside and feel the air, as you were saying, Anne, and the sun and the wind, and move around in what was there. We couldn't really do it. We could go to the end of the driveway. As soon as you tried to go out, you'd be up to your chest in snow, and the experience was somewhat diminished. But there's something wonderful about having that sense of natural rhythms, you know, even though we all complain about it gets dark too soon, you know, at the end of the year, and everybody's counting the seconds when we get a little bit more sun every day. But there's something really wonderful about that slowing down and not having to be on somebody else's schedule. The other thing that she said was, which I thought was really interesting, was that nature, how does she put it? Nature, well, the way I'll put it is nature features death as much as life. And she made I don't know if you've read this article, but she made an interesting point that, especially in the West, we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to see it. We don't like any reminders about it. And yet every time you're out in nature, you see something emerging out of something else. You know, you might see a dead tree trunk, and there's fungus, or there's mushrooms, or there's something growing out of it, or creatures living it and building homes. So that there is this acceptance of the natural life cycle and death cycle, and that it's kind of not over. You know, it's over in one form, but then another form emerges. There's something really grounding about that. You know, it's like, we don't have to prevent it. We don't have to run away from it. We don't have to hide our eyes from it. It's just so much more natural. Anne?
Yeah, I have something to share. I'm in another group, a women's group, and we were doing a day about the solstice, winter solstice. And anyhow, somebody read a poem by Wendell Berry, who's my favorite poet. And it said, when you go into the dark, don't take a light. And it's like a 6-line poem or something, but that was the gist of it. And it was so powerful to me. It reminded me, because I really have been through a very dark time in the last month. And that poem just spoke volumes to me. And I thought, so you're supposed to be in the dark. You're supposed to be in the dark, darkest part of nature. Tsunamis come, as well as beautiful lake shores. There's all sorts of faces to nature. And darkness is one of them. And Wendell Berry does a lot of work with darkness and tries to get us to see that embracing darkness is a part of our relationship to nature. And it was just really the right words for me to hear this week. So I'm really grateful for that. And it was a beautiful poem. Mm. Thanks.
Can you post it in our forum?
If I can find it.
Yeah, you can just put the link in there.
Okay. It's really easy to find. Just Google Wendell Berry solstice. And you'll find it. Ah. I just found it again.
And I'd like to clarify that the title Wintering of Catherine May's book is not about winter. It's about the times in our life when we're going through a hard time, which is a transformation. It could be at any season. But she calls it wintering because that's a time when we have to slow down, either because our bodies or our minds or our life force us to, or we realize that we just can't go on the way we have been anymore. And so as we quiet down and as we slow down, things just start to happen, including, and as you said, that we find the place that darkness has its place, right? Just as light has its place, darkness has its place too.
Can I say something?
Please.
Maybe not very much. maybe not at all. I feel like I'm on the edge of big emotion, but I'm glad you included death in this conversation about nature. I've been looking at pretty much everything this week through the focus on death. My sister is living, but has had a very big stroke and is likely will never recover. And conversation about death is I'm doing a lot of that. And this is I'm doing it with her husband, who rejected me and my other sister decades ago. And now I'm having an intimate, supportive, compassionate relationship with my sister's husband around my sister's death. And I have had lots of insight, but I just don't have any wisdom to share right now. I just wanted to speak myself into the circle and just do that much.
Well, I don't mind speaking for everybody because I apparently do that a lot, but I just want to send you a lot of love and support.
Thanks. Sometimes I'm not completely compassionate. I blew up at him last night. The poor guy, he just can't cope, and I lost it. But I have spoken to him since. You know, just it's just a choice. I keep making this choice to show up in the way neither she nor he have done for me in decades. Mm-hmm. And it feels really good, and it's really fucking hard. And yeah, I lost my shit last night, but. Oh, man, wow. It's amazing to step up. Anyway, thank you.
I love hearing just when you shared, Sue, I love hearing something personal that's happening in someone's life. And I can just say, I love my sister so much. I kind of have an obsession with her. And in my sister's case, who she has always suffered from mental illness and depression, and just I've learned so much through that and how to not judge. And I used to think I didn't have a reciprocal relationship, but I have had, like with this group, so many experiences to help me expand myself and to be more compassionate. And I just feel gifted that I have the kind of person that I gravitated towards that. And she does not. And I accept that and accept her. It's just accepting a person for who they are, but it's hard. And my heart goes out to you.
Well, as Mary was inviting us earlier, whatever comfort you can take from nature, it's there for you.
Nina, I don't think I told you or if you saw it, but I saw the first magnolia blossom cracked open right down the street the other day.
Nice. On the day.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah.
Nature's pulling for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like magnolias. I take pictures of them. I have for 32 years, 33 years.
Oh, that's great. You know, I was thinking about, I'm wondering, you all might be familiar with this. Well, you probably all are familiar with William Blake, but there's a a poem called Auguries of Innocence. And he says, to see the world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. And that's what we get to do. So many different ways.
What does that mean to you, Nina?
Well, there's a lot of different levels to it, but I think in light of our conversation about what happens to us when we consider the natural world and how it's made and how we're a part of it, there's something timeless about it. You know, when I was mentioning earlier, time starts to slow down when we are in nature, and that sense of awe that we get from seeing nature, being out in nature, understanding how nature, at least with our limited pea brains, can understand how nature works, is that it creates such a sense of, we've been saying this word, awe. I think that when you look at a flower, and whether you see the sacred geometry in it or the Fibonacci series or the number of the petals of the flowers or the spiral in sunflowers or a certain kind of broccoli that has that shape to it, there's something just to me that takes me out of myself. And I'm not confined to this body in this moment and this whatever particular thoughts are going through my head, but it takes me to a place where that sense of connection and whatever we call our relationship to the divine or the holy or spirit or consciousness, that becomes paramount, much more accessible than, you know, if I'm paying bills or, you know, we're doing the laundry or, you know, doing things that are kind of, that preoccupy my attention. But when I stop to look at something in nature that can transport me out of regular clock time into this more, a bigger sense of who I am and what I'm a part of.
Nina, I experienced that same sense of awe, and it fills me with joy. Something like just seeing the sun break through the clouds in what we'd call celestial light. Just something as simple as that will make me stop driving, pull over, get out of the car, and just, it happened yesterday. I was looking up at the sky and it was particularly beautiful, tinged with pink and gold. And I just had to get out of my car and look. And we all need to take more of those moments, I think, particularly when we get wrapped up in life and are busy with the holidays, we're forgetting, or we're a little trapped by snow here where we live. I can't get into the woods, although I want to, but that is what I experience too, that sense of awe and connection to what I consider the divine.
Yeah. So this brings me back to a question about words and the definition of love. So everything that everybody has shared today, I'm curious, how do you think it's related to love? How is awe, how is connection, how is beauty related to love?
Well, one thing I've been, it's that transport from a sleepy self to a bigger self or to a smaller self to our deeper, more eternal self. Like nature is what we've been talking about is nature is a transportation. Means of transportation. It takes us from one to the other. And that's where the love is. I mean, love is, it's everywhere. It's, you know, art in different ways, but that's where the big love is. That's where the big love whoosh is. And so I feel like it just could nudge us there or sweep us off our feet there, or, you know, one way or another, it can take us there. And it's, that was my, the biggest realization for me is, oh, wow, it's there. It's all, it's there to be had. If I, am I longing to go to my love, I can find a way.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Mary, I just love what you said, because it's so transient. I've been very blessed. I've been able to see the convergence of the planets coming together and coming up to it a few days, and then that night, I mean, I only have binoculars, I don't have a telescope, but we had clear nights and we were able to see it. And then the following night, it was foggy, so we would have never been able to see it. And I just thought, the last time was 1216. How am I so blessed to have been able to see this? And it made me realize that I am so small in this vast universe, and yet I am a part of it. And I won't be around to see the next time, but here I am, able to experience it. And it is that the awareness that we are here for such a short time, truly, in the grand scheme of things, and to really appreciate the moments, the absolute moments. I don't know if you could tell, but my eye kept going outside. I have a rosemary bush that's just kind of gone wild. And there were all these finches or tiny birds that came and converged on it. And then they feed on it and then just whoosh away. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's magical. I am not usually there. And what a gift. So it's these little gifts that we get. I think that's love. It's the gifts that we are able to receive and are aware of. That's all I have to say. Loss of words. So thank you.
Yeah.
I think I'm going back to Mary's first share again, that it's like, that it's always here. And a particular example that I think of all the time, I was on Michael Neal's, one of his calls, and I was sharing so you could hear, you know, my microphone was on, and the birds in the background were so loud. And for me, it was like, I was getting a little annoyed because like, I was like, I'm trying to like talk here and like these birds are so loud. And then someone wrote in the chat box, like, oh, I just like, I love the birds in the background. And I was like, wow, like I never thought about that. Like there's this bird that's, you know, that lives, I guess, outside my window that's been like keeping me up for, you know, a while. And I was getting annoyed, and I was annoyed while I was sharing. And just that little like change in perspective, you know, just totally changed the way that I was like, that I appreciated that. And I feel like that happens a lot where, you know, maybe you're having a bad day or whatever, and you like forget to notice what's happening. And, but then like all of a sudden, you know, you see the you know, the sky and the, you know, the sun is shining through, and, you know, I'm looking at Joy right now. It looks like she's an angel, the way that the sun's shining through her window. I think like just appreciating or changing those perspectives. And Sue, I haven't shared this with you before, but the bar that I work at is on the street that it's on is on Magnolia Drive. And so every time I go there, I see the street sign, and I think of you, because I know that that's the name of the company. So I just felt inclined to share that with you today, that whenever I go to work, I'm thinking of you.
Nice.
There's something I'd kind of like to share. Okay, so it's interesting that the topic is love and nature. I've been in the hospital, and the hospital is a very unnatural world. And it was a really a big shock. I came out and the snowstorm hit, you know, I came out of the hospital. And that day, that night, the snowstorm hit. And so what I was really trying to process while you all were talking, we were thinking about, I was thinking about how unnatural everything is in the hospital, because just so unnatural. But the one thing that isn't is the people. Like the surgeon was a sweetheart and he was loving. And the anesthesiologist, when they put me under, was saying, how are you start to feel like you're in heaven? And he said, like, how are you feeling? And I said, really happy. And he said, okay, bye, you know, and sent me off. And that's all really unnatural, but the people were loving and giving, and the people who stepped up from this group and other places to help me, you know, to drive me, to shovel me out, to bring me food and all that. So sometimes it's kind of easy to love nature out there, the big nature, the sky, all that. I grew up with that. I love it so much. But to remember that nature is in all of us and all of you and me, and that we're not just a part of it, but we radiate it as well. And I really experienced that while I was in a really sterile physical environment. There were people radiating love to me all around me. And that was such a almost ironic and paradoxical situation that it really struck me. So I just wanted to share that.
Had a great story to share. Thank you.
There's a expansive quality about love. I mean, it's very expansive, where negative feelings or feeling hostile is very contracting. And I think nature is very expansive. I don't know. I mean, don't they say that the universe is constantly expanding? And again, it goes back to just like love, as it expands, becomes more and more inclusive. Nature is inclusive. I mean, it's all dependent on all of these things happening, the wind causing erosion of the mountains, and the mountains go down, and the earth, the underneath the earth, there's something, you know, pushing up mountains someplace else. And so all these things are happening all at one time, but it's inclusive and it's expanding. And I think pure love is inclusive and expanding. And it would be great to be able to feel that all the time, which I don't. I look at my gas meter when, you know, like when you're driving, I look at it and I go, wow, it's so cool. Cause like, I'm always going, oh, I don't want to run out of gas. I don't want to be in a place where I can't get more gas. And then I started thinking about it, like, suppose that was love. Suppose we had a meter that said how much love we were feeling, and you could go, oh, you know, I'm really low on love fuel, you know? So, and then you could take a deep breath. I mean, everything changes when you feel loving. You breathe deeper and maybe slower, but you do. I mean, you use the word, you know, radiate, that you felt that people were radiating love at the hospital. And I wish we could all do that all the time. Wouldn't that be great? So I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but
yeah,
that's how I think nature
makes a lot of sense.
A great conjunction. I went on the way back to my chiropractor. I stopped at a big lake we have, and I pulled off to the side, and there were all these cars in the dusk, and there was an embankment that went down to the lake, and I had people telling me, did you see it? Can you see it? No, look this way. No, look that way. It's through those trees. Be careful going down the embankment. And I found myself not only taking pictures of the conjunction, but also of the people standing in the dusk, their silhouettes against the lake and the sunset. And I sent the picture to my sisters and I said, Close Encounters, like the movie. Do you remember how they were all drawn?
Yeah.
And you've all touched on this, but to me, love opens me up when I see the birds singing at the top of the tree in the setting sun and hear them talking to each other. That opens me just a bit so I can expand my heart, so I can take that feeling into the other parts of my life. And I think that when I can connect with people, like in the hospital, and you were at your most vulnerable, and those people were connected to you because you're another human being. You're another creature just like they are. And to me, that's the love in nature, is that it both helps me be open to those connections with other things and with other people. Love and nature.
Will you post some of your pictures?
I will. I'm not a photographer.
I don't care. We'd love to see them.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I thought, how wonderful that people have come together to help each other witness this moment. It was as beautiful as what was happening in the sky. Mm. Yeah, I'll be happy to. I didn't take any pictures of the little naked snails. And I want to tell you, they weren't slugs. They were this big. They were tiny.
Well, it's a good thing they weren't slugs. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, that would not be a good story, right?
Slugs are people too.
Yeah, slugs deserve love too, right?
That's right. So we're coming up to our hour, and I'm really glad that you had a chance to look at some of the audios and the videos. And if you have a chance, check out more of them. Some of them are really just fascinating. And we're just, you know, touching the tip of the iceberg here. I saw videos about people composing music based on sacred geometry in the Fibonacci series. And when you start seeing that kind of pattern and connection in the world, it just does something to you. You know, you just feel so lucky to be here. And I keep thinking about that quote by Einstein, that you can either see everything in life as a miracle or nothing in life is a miracle. And just exploring this one topic, there's a lot of miracle happening all around us. So what are we going to talk about next? I want to do this democratically. So here are the options. Music, love in music, love in self, love in art, love in animals, love in speaking and listening, and love in making things. So what do we want to talk about next week? Music. How many people want to talk about music? 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not for that.
4. Okay, so 4. Love and self. Writing this down.
Could we change that? I had said that last week, and Mark says, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
And I started thinking about that. I was going, how about love of humanity? I think that's what I was more trying to say. Hmm. That.
So with that. Yeah. What's that? Joy?
I was just going to say, I'd be more interested in talking about love of self than love of humanity.
Me too. I think it's important.
Okay, so.
I was making a joke last week, so I think it would be very valuable to talk about.
Oh, what was your joke?
You offered that up, and I said, oh, no, I don't want to talk about loving myself.
Okay, I took it seriously.
I'm so sorry, actually. That was a great suggestion.
But it's okay, because then I went, well, what about humanity? But we're back to self, so.
All right, so how many people for self, love and love of self? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Looks like we have a majority on that one. Love and art.
I'd like that too. I like all the topics, so
that's the
for what it's worth. I mean, as an artist myself, I would say, you know, love and art and love and making could potentially go together, because some people, I think it's about the creative impulse, and definitions of art just seem rather limiting.
And art and love and music, because music is a form of art. It's an artistic expression, so that could be combined too.
Yeah, if we're short on time, I just thought I'd mention that.
Yes, we are one whole minute past our hour. So, okay, so here we go. Are we doing love and love of self or love of the creative process? Love and the creative process.
Wow, they're so connected to each other.
Yeah.
Love of self.
Music too.
Self.
I think love and self had the most votes.
Okay. Yep. Let's do love and self. And then the following week, if we're all still excited about it, do love and art and everything that that would encompass.
Yes, yes, cool. Yes.
Right. Okay. So love and self. That ought to be an interesting one. So I highly encourage you to include your thoughts on this. We'll put it in the forum. Any examples you have of it, quotes, photographs, videos, your own personal experience, it's loaded up. All right, beautiful souls. If you celebrate Christmas, happy Christmas. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, to all. See you soon.
Happy holiday.
Mwah. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.